Well, good morning, Hope Valley Church, and we are so glad that you're with us this morning, and we want to say to our mothers, Happy Mother's Day. We're so glad that you've joined us, and we're so thankful for you. And so in honor of you all this morning, we decided to start this service off with some mom memes. If you've ever seen some of those things that you'll see on the internet or on Facebook, I want you to see a couple of these. The first one here is the first time that you hear the word mom. That's what you look like. How about the 7,567th time that you hear your name called mom? What about the next one? This next one is pretty funny. My wife relates to this one. Kids be like, Mommy, what you doing? John, you can't hide from your kids. You can't get away from them. No chance. What about this next one? When I've got the dishes are done, but now the living room. Isn't that the story though? It doesn't matter what you do. They're gonna make a mess. I love this next one. This one is what happens when they get quiet. It's like that silence. Sometimes you like the silence, but you know something else is going on. Yeah, that one's pretty awesome. And then how about this next one? How do I put this? You will never sleep in again. I love that one. And this next one here is nothing is really lost until your mom can't find it. Now, how true is that? I know for me, growing up, that was like our story always. Mom could always find it. What sick days look like for a kid and for dad and poor moms, your sick days. You don't really get those things, do you? We're so thankful for you, moms. What about playing with the children as the father sees, as the child sees, and as the mother sees? That kid is way up there. All right, and then this last one. Mom, I'm hungry. Mom, I'm cold. Mom, I'm hot. Mom, can I have? Mom, can I watch? Mom, where are you? Mom, can you ask dad? Mom, can you help me? Mom, he hurt me. Mom, she hurt me. I want to go there. Mom, are we there? Mom, why are we? Mom, why can't we? And then to dad, dad, where's mom? It's so funny how true these pictures are. And so, moms, we want to say, just sort of pause and take a moment. You deserve more than just one day a year, but we do want to say just how special that you are. And one quick word to our moms and to women as a general, as we celebrate women who fulfill the role that God has called them to. Just hear me when I say that you are a beautiful, special gift from God. Don't listen to what society says that you have to be, or what your house has to look like, or the job that you have to have. You have been created by God for a special, beautiful purpose. And we men don't always understand how you guys do things and how your mind works, but I know it's beautiful and it's purposeful. And God doesn't make mistakes. And so no matter what voices that you're hearing from culture saying that you have to do a certain thing or behave a certain way, don't listen to those voices. Just listen to one voice, and that's the voice of your Creator, your Father in heaven, who says that you are a special, beautiful daughter of the King. And that's your identity. And so you can rest in that Mother's Day. And we do pray that this is a good one for you, but I also acknowledge that for many, it's not. It's not a positive day. Maybe there's things going on in your life or your kids' lives, or maybe there's other circumstances in your life that just make this a day like this one just difficult and hard for so many different reasons. And so we also want to tell you that we love you, that we're praying for you, and that we want to be there for you in this time as well. So growing up, I'm so thankful for the heritage that my mom and dad just raised me in, and how they continually, constantly pointed me to Jesus. I'm particularly thankful for my mom in that way as well, and how she just faithfully poured into us and faithfully just pointed us to the Lord. That last slide talked about how, you know, kids are always calling after their mom for different things, and not, maybe not as often, or at least not for the same things. I know this past week, whenever my daughters were sick or hurt, or they needed a Band-Aid on something or whatever, they were always calling for mom. But when they wanted an ice cream sandwich, they were calling for dad. Now, they call me for different things too, but you get the point. I think it's very telling what a child calls out to a specific parent for. It says a lot about moms in that respect. So I talk a lot about my parents, and I've talked recently about how I'm so thankful for my dad that I've never seen someone who pursued so hard after the Lord, and I've been able to model after that. And he's sort of been a spiritual mentor for me. But I think it's fitting, though, that when I was 10 years old, I was sitting in church, and we had this little children's church thing, and we had a lesson that was being taught. And I think it's so fitting that in that moment, when I was hearing the Word of God, and the Spirit of God just convicted me of my sin in that moment, and I was broken over my sin, and I was crying out to God, I got up from my chair, and you know, the very first person that I wanted to go for, I went after my mom. And I went and I found my mom, and she took me out into the hallway. I can still remember it like it was yesterday. We sat down in the steps of the bottom of this church, and she prayed with me and led me to Jesus when I was 10 years old. And I'll never forget that, just that special moment. But I wanted to go and find my mom. Moms have just a special place in our heart. And now I get firsthand every single day, I get to see the most amazing mom in my wife, as she loves and takes care of our kids, and she, from day one, and just how it's almost like it just God had placed that in her to be just a caring, nurturing, just faithful mom. I'm so thankful for my sweet wife and all that she does. I don't know how you all do everything that you do, but I'm so thankful that you do. And so, moms, we love you. We're thankful for you. And so, today, in honor of Mother's Day, we're going to spend some time in God's Word talking about the home, but more specifically, God's plan for the home. And so we're going to be in Psalm chapter 127 as we continue our series in the book of Psalms. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, and again, I want to encourage you, if you've got a Bible, a physical Bible there, would you get it out? I think it's going to help you, one, for you to be able to see it yourself, and then also help you stay connected and engaged as we walk through the Scriptures together. So we're going to be in Psalm 127, and while you're turning there, while you're finding it in your Bible, let me just sort of give you the history for this specific psalm. Psalm 127 is a wisdom psalm, and we've talked about the different categories that there are in the Psalms of thanksgiving and praise, and Psalms of lament, Psalms of kingship that honor God as sovereign king and ruler. And this one specifically is wisdom, in that these psalms point to a contrast between righteous living and foolish living, the road that leads to life and the road that leads to death, the things that means to honor God and that which is offensive to Him. And so this psalm is a wisdom psalm, but more specifically, in Psalm 127, it says, if you look at the very top of it, it says, a song of ascents, a song of Solomon. And so we know that King Solomon is the author of this one. He wrote this, the son of David. He wrote this psalm, but it is a song of ascent. And so if you look back, Psalm 120 through 134, they're all grouped together. They start off by saying a song of ascent. These songs of ascent were sung as the Jews would pilgrim, or they would make their way to Jerusalem several times a year for the different feasts. And so as they would make their way, or as they would ascend to Jerusalem, as they would arrive, they would have memorized these songs, and then they would sing them out as they arrived into the city. And so these songs of ascent, as they're called, I think there's about 15 of them, they would have been memorized and sung as they arrived to worship and to celebrate those feasts in the Old Testament. So in this psalm specifically, Psalm 127, there's three things that I want us to see in this passage. We're going to walk through them together. The first thing that we're going to notice is God's plan for the home. God's plan for the home. And then secondly, God's blessing of the home. And then thirdly, God's mission for the home. God's mission for the home. So let's go ahead and read this psalm together. Psalm 127, beginning in verse 1, says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to bed and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of the warrior are children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Let me pray and then we'll jump in. King Jesus, thank you for our time this morning to open up your word. And our prayer this morning is that you would take your word, would you plant it deep in our hearts? And then, Lord, would that word come to life and produce fruit and life change in us so that we would be different as a result of you speaking to us. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us in these next few moments. And it's in your great name we pray. Amen. All right, so Psalm 127, point number one, the first thing that we need to see is God's plan for the home. Look at verse 1. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. So we have to ask the question, so who is the builder here? The builder is the one who has the master plan. So he's the one who's the brains behind it, the designer, if you will. And then you might have others who participate in the building of the structure, but there's somebody who had a master plan, a master design for this house. And then you have the builders that come, and their job is to put into is to build according to the plan of the master builder, the master designer. When we look into spiritually speaking, and we're talking about a house, we're not talking about a physical building, we're talking about the family, the home. God is the designer of the home. He's the master planner, the master designer. In other words, the family was God's idea. We've talked before about how marriage was God's idea. And so when you look at the very beginning, you look at the book of Genesis, you see that God created man. And then he said, it's not good for a man to be alone. And so let me create a suitable helper for him. So he created woman. And he brings man and he brings woman together. And he says to them, look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And so God, in his great, good, awesome plan, he brought together a man and a woman, and he said, now produce a family. And the design, the plan from the beginning was that this mom and dad would raise up their children to fear and honor and worship God. And then they would train up their children to fear, honor, and worship God. They would train up their children to fear, honor, and worship God. And then from generation to generation, they would be raised up just men and women who love and honor and serve the living God. That was the good design and the good plan of God. The problem is we don't always do things according to his plan, do we? We don't always do things according to God's design, the master designer. Have you ever tried to put together something, maybe a bookshelf or a kid's toy or something, without looking at the instructions? So recently we were putting some storage shelves in our garage, and I saw the instructions. I mean, they were there. But if you're like me, and men, we are terrible at this, we look at things and we're like, oh no, I got this. And then we just get to work putting things together. Well, if you're like me, if you ever, just sort of say this, if you ever hear me say that, if you ever hear me say, oh man, I got this, I don't need the instructions, would you just stop me right there and say, Jared, let's back up a little bit, you might want to use the instructions. So I was putting this thing together, and I looked at it, I saw it, and I was like, I got this. So I started putting this shelf together, and I was, you know, making sure that the holes, you know, were lining up right. And well, I got all the way from the bottom all the way up to the top, and then I realized that the top shelf part was not going to connect. There was no way for it to connect. And of course, I realized that I had it upside down, and the holes that were at the bottom were supposed to be at the top. See, what did I have to do? I had to disassemble the entire thing and start over. because I didn't look at the instructions. And then when I did look at the instructions, I saw my error. I was able to correct it. And then now we have some nice storage shelves in the garage. But the problem is I had my own plan, or at least I thought I could put it together without looking at the actual master plan for these things. A lot of times in the family, that's what happens with us. And that is that we have really good plans. We have good ideas and good dreams and things that we are hoping to do and accomplish and pursue and follow after. And then what we do oftentimes is that we say, okay, here's my plan that I've got, and now let me see how I can work God into this. Like, let me see how I can fit God into our little plan or our dream that we have for this family. But the problem is that that's backwards. We should not look at our home and say, and that's exactly what this passage is talking to us about, unless the Lord builds the house, then whatever you're trying to do and striving and trying to build is absolutely in vain, because you're not the master builder designer. God has the plan for the family and for the home, and so we have to submit to His plan for our family. But so many of us have our own agenda or our own plan, and we try to figure things out on our own, and that never ends well. And so oftentimes, families start off that way, and maybe it works for a season, and then you're trying to figure out what's happened, what's going on, why is this happening, and if you look back, somewhere along the way, we've gotten off track of God's design, the master builder. And so he says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who try to do their own thing on their own effort or their own plan, they labor in vain. And then he says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And so he transitions to a different analogy or a different picture, in that now it's one of security and watchfulness and protection. And again, in the family, you can set up for yourself whatever assurances that you want, whatever securities or insurance or whatever that you want. But if it's you trying to do something and put something and protect something on your own, what it says here is that it's in vain. Because God is not the center. God has to be a part of our life, but He has to be our life. My family shouldn't fit God into our plans. It's like whatever that we're going to do as a family has to be wrapped up in and centered on and founded on God as the master builder. And that's when that happens, and when we submit to the authority of the Word of God and say, okay, God, Your plan is bigger and better than mine, and I'm going to submit my plans to Yours, that is when the family is healthiest and begins to work as God intended it and as God originally designed. But now in verse 2 it says, it continues this idea of it being in vain or useless. It's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. Now what is he saying here? He's not saying that getting up early is bad. It's not bad to get up early. It's not bad to work hard. Those are good things. The emphasis here is trying to do it on your own. Is trying to do it in your own strength or your own effort. I've heard people say, if I don't hold this family together, then everything's going to crumble. And the truth is that if you're trying to hold your family together on your own strength, it's absolutely going to crumble. It's absolutely going to fall apart because you were never intended to hold it all together. That's not what God has called us to do, is to hold our families together. God has called us to submit our families under His plan and His design for our family. And then He says that when we do that, there's rest for us. And so we look at it says, for He gives rest to His beloved, or He gives to His beloved sleep or rest in Him. Now, this is not rest from responsibility. It's rest from trying to figure it all out on your own. It's rest from trying to carry the weight that we were never meant to carry. So this past week, we were moving some boxes into our garage, and my girls were helping me. And while we were doing, there were some real heavy boxes. So I said, hey girls, be really careful. These are really heavy. I don't want you to get hurt. So Hannah helped me pick up one, and so I was carrying it, and literally I was carrying pretty much all of the weight, but she was carrying one side of it. And so we walked it into the garage and sat it down, and she's like, "Oh, Daddy, that was super easy. That wasn't heavy. That was a piece of cake." But what had really happened was that I was actually bearing all of the weight, and she was just kind of putting her arms around it. So the next box that we carried in, I was still carrying the weight of the box, but I eased up some so that she could feel the weight of the box. She wasn't carrying the weight, but she did feel it. So then the next time it was a little bit different. As we carried it into the garage, she was like, "Whoa, now Daddy, that's heavy. We did it. We did it together, but it was heavy, wasn't it? Wasn't that hard?" You see, the difference is that she felt the weight, but she didn't have to carry it. I think in parenting, moms and dads, we need to feel the weight of parenting. We need to feel the weight without carrying the weight. Here's what I mean by that. So by feeling the weight, I mean we need to understand the responsibility that God has given to us. Like the massive responsibility that God has given us when He gives us children, that we have a job to love and to care for and to shepherd and to steward those little gifts that God has given us. We have little souls, literally souls, that we have been entrusted with, that we are to shape and to take care of. And so that's a big responsibility. So we need to feel the weight of that without carrying the weight of that, because as God, as the builder, the master designer, the master plan, we follow after Him as He carries the weight, as He carries the family along. Our job is to trust and rely on Him. That's what we are called to do. So there's great freedom when we surrender those things to Him, and I think there's great freedom in parenting when we have complete dependence upon God. When you depend on Him for everything, there is a sense of freedom that comes from that, because we say, "Oh, God, I can't do these things. I can't be the mom that You've called me to be. I can't be the dad. I can't do all these things. Like, so I need You to do this, Lord. I need Your strength when mine is gone." And I think the Lord is pleased when we have that kind of a prayer and that kind of dependence on Him, because He's the builder, and if the Lord doesn't build the house, then whatever efforts that we're trying are ultimately in vain. So the first thing that we need to see in that is God's plan. God's plan for the home. But the second thing is God's blessing for the home. Go ahead and look at the next verse, verse 3. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward." The word heritage literally means inheritance or a blessing given by God. And so we need to view our children, listen, parents, we need to view our children as God sees them. And that God sees them as a precious, beautiful gift. It's a gift from Him to us, and we have to receive them as a gift. And that, I understand that's not always easy, but that's what we're called to do. So we got to be careful that children are not inconveniences. Children are not byproducts of a marriage. Children are not, certainly not, we shouldn't look at them as accidents, and certainly not mistakes. Children are good gifts that we've been given from the Lord. And I love that. Look at, make sure you see that part. It says that children are a heritage from where? From the Lord. They're gifts given to us from the Lord. Offspring is a blessing. And if you remember, like back in this day, this was like when someone was blessed with children, it was a massive gift. It was seen as a favor and supernatural blessing from the Lord. Now that doesn't mean that if you don't have children, that God doesn't bless you or can't bless you. God has other ways of blessing His children, and we see that in Scripture as well. But in this passage specifically, it's referring to the blessing that God gives when He gives us children. It goes on to say later that blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. And so it's this idea that, you know, load them up, right? Just pack on more and more kids. And it's kind of like my family. My brother just had their seventh kid, child, blessing, I should have said that. They just had their seventh blessing. I think maybe God gives like different size quivers for different people, you know, like maybe different kind of capacity for different kids. We have three and we love it, and we're like, thank you, Jesus. Like, they're amazing. My brothers have like five, six, and they have lots of kids. And there's lots of people in our church family that have lots of kids. And so maybe there's like a supernatural, little extra blessing when you have more in your quiver. But I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for the blessing of the kids that God has given us. And our girls are an absolute blessing. But we have to remember that. And I think it's so important, especially when, like, some of those pictures, like that child was like smothered in butter, right? So there's times that they don't always seem like special gifts. In fact, there's times when children are really difficult, and that's just the nature of parenting. But we need to look at that not as you know, all this massive inconvenience, but just an incredible opportunity. Like, God has entrusted with me the responsibility to raise up this child to fear and honor and worship the one true God of the universe. And so I get every single day a new chance. I might mess up and fail yesterday, but God gave me a whole new day today to start over and try again. And so, parents, let's remember that children are a gift and they're a blessing from the Lord. So we've seen that God's plan for the home, and then God's blessing of the home. And then finally, number three, God's mission for the home. Look at verse 4. It says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks to his enemies in the gate. I'm going to start on verse 5. We're going to work our way back up to verse 4. So at the end here, and it says, and he shall not be put to shame when he speaks to his enemies in the gate, or when, it could be translated, when they speak to their enemies in the gate. So the city gates were where a lot of legal matters were settled in the city. And so you would have, maybe there was a dispute on something, or a financial affair that had to be settled, or some kind of argument that had to be taken care of, or a confrontation between neighbors, and all those things would happen at the city gates. So if someone had someone against them or an enemy coming against them, they would do those things at the city gate. And the idea here is that you would raise up your children, your sons or daughters, in such a way that when that time comes, and for them in this context, when you're meeting your enemy at the gate, that you have a generation, you have a children with you to stand with you for what's right, stand with you and take care of you when you're maybe not able to take care of yourself as you're older. So the principle here is that you're raising up your children with the future in mind. All right, so take that into thought here. The principle that we see here in Scripture is that we are to raise up our children not with just like tomorrow in mind, but with the future in mind. And let me take it a step further to say that I think we need to not just raise up our children with the future in mind, but raise up our children with eternity in mind. Right? So we do want our children to be mindful of and think about preparations for their future, whether that's education or other things, and jobs and all those things. But more importantly than that is eternity. And so let's think about this for a second. Our children will live forever. Right, so let the weight of that sink in for a second. Your children, my children, will live from this point on. They're going to live forever. In eternity, they will live in one or two places. They will either spend eternity in heaven, or they'll spend an eternity in hell, separated from God. So I want to just kind of like let that weight of that sink in for a moment, because as we're preparing them, when the weight of eternity is in front of us and in our forefront, hopefully that can help us to weigh that and put that in proper perspective with the little things that we deal with on a daily basis. The craziness of our schedules and all of those things, can we put those in perspective with eternity? And as we consider the responsibility that we have as parents, I want us to think about the primary responsibility that we have, right? So what is the primary responsibility that we have as parents? And I love the way that Tim, Pastor Tim Kimmel said, in fact, like I saw there's a new parenting video that we're walking through, Danielle and I, called The Art of Parenting, and I want to commend it to you. And if you want information on how to get plugged into that parenting study, I'll get you connected and set up with that. But why don't you take a second and check out his definition of what a priority, what it means for parents. What is our main priority? Check this out.
Most parents think their job is to food, clothing, shelter, health, education, and welfare. And it is. If you're giving birth to a human being, they expect you to do that. But we also expect you to do that if you have a dog or a cat or a fish. Those are important parts of the child's upbringing, but they're B priorities. The A priority of a parent is to connect to the heart of a child in such a way that it makes it easy for that child to connect to the heart of God. So you've got to connect and stay connected. And that changes everything.
All right, so I want you to listen to those words again. Did you catch that? The main priority of parents is to connect with the heart of their child in such a way that makes it easy for them to connect to the heart of God. That's what we're called to do. That's our job description as parents, to connect with our children, connect with the hearts of our children in such a way that it helps them connect to the heart of God. And that's what God has called us to do as parents. And listen, that's got to be priority number one. Like, I want my kids to be happy. I want them to be successful. I want all of those things for them, but that can't be my top priority. Like, my kids' happiness is not my top priority. I want them to know and honor and follow after Jesus with all of their heart. I want them to love Him, and I want them to love others as a result of that. I want people around them to see them and know that they love Jesus and their lives are different and they've been changed. More than anything, I want that for my girls. And that's got to be our number one priority for our kids. Now look back at verse 4. It says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. So he gives us a picture here. He gives us a word picture, this picture of a warrior with an arrow. Now, a warrior would depend upon this for their protection in battle. And they wouldn't go to war without it. They would have it, and they would make sure that it was ready to be launched. Now, an arrow would do for them what they couldn't do. So it would go beyond their scope and their reach. And so they would launch their arrow. They would shoot it out, and it would do what they couldn't do. And it would go places that they couldn't go. That was what they would use their arrow for. In a very similar way, as parents, we have a massive responsibility and a massive opportunity with our children. In that we have the opportunity to, as we're raising them, to shape the arrow. We get the opportunity to speak into and to shepherd and to help them become more like Jesus. And we get to point them in the right direction as we launch them out. Now, we can't control the direction that they go. We can't ultimately control where they go, but we can influence, we can point them in the right direction. And so that's what we're called to as parents, is to shape that arrow and point it in the right direction. Now, maybe you're at a point where your kids are already gone. Your arrows have already been launched, and maybe you're thinking, I missed it. I missed an opportunity. I missed, and now it's over. Now they're already gone. They've already been launched. And I would say it's not over. That you still have an opportunity. You still have an opportunity to have influence in their life. Maybe even as a grandparent, you still have opportunity to speak into and to influence the lives of your children and your grandchildren. So don't miss that. Don't think, oh, it's over for me. It's too late. You still have that opportunity. Maybe you don't even have children of your own, but you have an opportunity to influence the next generation in whether it's teaching or coming alongside of another parent and helping them as they follow after their God-given calling and mission to follow after Him. And that's what we're called to do, to shape and fashion our kids and to in such a way that they're ready for the mission that God has planned for each and every one of our kids. But it has to start with dependence on God, right? Just like the very beginning of this passage. unless God builds the house, listen, if God doesn't build the house, then everything that we're doing and striving for is in vain. We've got to surrender to and be dependent upon the good work that God wants to do in our families. If you don't listen to anything else, please don't miss this last part. So we talked about how dependence on God leads to freedom, and it does, especially in parenting. When we finally give up those things and say, okay, Lord, I can't do this on my own, there's great freedom in saying, Lord, would you do those things in our family? I can't hold this stuff together. I can't do that. There's great freedom and hope that's found in dependence upon God. But the opposite is also true, because in isolation and self-dependence leads to despair. So hear me again. When you depend and rely upon yourself, it ultimately will lead to despair. 3 days ago, I got a phone call from my brother in Uganda. And he called me late at night and said, hey, I got to tell you this, man. I just want you to know something that's happened today that it's just blown me away. I want you to know what's going on. He said, you know that the money that you guys, that Hope Valley sent over here for Pastor Robert to begin working in the village of Kalagala, he said he's already started doing his food distribution, and what they're doing is they're giving it to the members, and then their members are then going and sharing with their neighbors and trying to meet needs in their community. He said, I just got a phone call from Pastor Robert telling me some things that had happened today. The day before that, one of the ladies in the church went to check on her neighbor. When she walked into the home, she found this lady with a sheet wrapped around her neck, hanging by, the sheet was connected to the roof of the house, and she was about to jump and end her life. She, of course, ran over to her and took her down and stayed right there with her. She called Robert and said, please, can you come? And so the very next morning, he rushed over to the house when he was coming to bring some more supplies anyway. He got to this sweet lady's house, and as he listened to her story, she began to explain to him and say, I have no hope. There's no hope for me. She said, I'm sick, I'm HIV positive, and I can't afford my medicine. I have no food to feed my family, and my husband has left me. There's no hope for me. This seems like the best option. He sat down with that sweet lady, and he began to share with her the love that God has for her, and he began to share the gospel with her. And then in that moment, that morning, she surrendered her life to Jesus, and she was saved right there. Right after they got to pray with her, they got to load her up with food and supplies and gave her some money to go and get her the medicine that she needed. And then today, just got a message from him today, and he sent me a picture and said, I want you to send you a picture. Her name is Molly. I want you to see a picture of her as they met today, and they had Bible study, and now she has a hope and she has a future because of what Jesus has done in her life. But if you think about that story, if you think about her life, she was relying on herself. She had this self, I've got to hold this thing together. And where did it lead? It led to emptiness and despair. But when she surrendered her life to Jesus, and when she said, she had complete and total dependence upon Him, that is when we find life and hope. And we say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need You. And so listen, I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what burdens that you're carrying or what things that you're facing right there where you are. But I want you to know that there is hope in Jesus. And what we are called to do is to surrender our lives to Him and submit under His authority as He builds our house, as He builds our home, and as we follow the master plan that He has set out for us. Moms, I don't know right now, well, where you're at. Maybe you're just completely and utterly spent and just in utter despair in your life because of things that are going on, because of the situation that we've been in for these past several months. I don't know. Maybe you're ready just to throw in the towel and call it quits. But I want you to know that Jesus loves you and that He wants to come alongside of you and carry the weight that you were never meant to carry on your own. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And I want you just, if you're right where you're at, if you're just in your living room, wherever you are, would you just bow your head? Would you just close your eyes? Because I just want to pray over you. Moms, particularly you, but then anybody else. I just want to pray just a prayer over you this next few moments. And then we're going to close out our service. We're going to sing and then we're going to be done. But as we do, would you just maybe shut out any distractions for a moment? And let's just pray to the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I want to take this moment. I just want to pray over every woman that's listening to this right now, every mother that is just tired and exhausted and spent. And Lord, maybe they've been trying to carry things. Maybe they've been trying to hold on things by their own strength and their own effort. And I pray right now, by Your Spirit, would You just overcome them by Your presence? And would you carry the weight that You never intended for them to carry as they surrender those things to You? Lord, if there's somebody else that's carrying some burden that they're never meant to carry, Lord, would you work in their life and their heart in this moment? Lord, I pray for our children. I pray for this next generation. There's so many times when I mess up and I have no clue what I'm doing with my kids. And so, Lord, in those moments, would we surrender to the master builder, the master plan that You have set out for us? Lord, our desire is not that You would be a part of our lives, but that You would be our life, Lord, and that we would center our families and that we would place our families on the firm foundation, Lord, of You. So I pray that right now for anybody who is listening and watching, who is just downcast and maybe they're wrestling with one thing or the other. Lord, You know hearts. You know every single heart right now and every single burden. So I pray, Lord, by Your Spirit, that You would work and move in Jesus' name. Amen. We're gonna close out and we're gonna sing a song together. And listen, if you have a burden on your heart that you want to share with us, you could connect with us in the chat there. You could send us an email. We would love to connect with you and walk with you. If you have questions about maybe walking through a parenting Bible study and you would like somebody to do that with you or connect you in such a way that you can. We have some resources that we'd like to put into your hands. So would you just reach out to us and let us know? And so above all, listen, church, we love you. If you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus, maybe you don't know about what it really means to have your sins forgiven, we would love to chat with you about that as well. So if you don't mind, just reach out to us, shoot us an email, connect with us in the chat, leave us a comment on Facebook or go visit our website, and we will respond to you. So we love you so much. Mothers, happy Mother's Day. And now let's finish this service in a time of worship.